You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
And then, you know, after like a half hour into the session, it started like giving me an allergic reaction.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Just, okay. You know, my throat was kind of getting a little crazy there.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I did most of the talking there.
Yeah, let's do a little bit of muting and clearing my throat and that kind of thing. And like open the window to kind of air the place out. But now and then, I mean, I'm really into candles to the point where I have burned so many candles that sometimes I will get allergic reactions to them.
Oh, wow.
Especially in, you know, in a smaller space. So I kind of forgot about that. And it might affect my voice.
So what scent do you have going on?
I got like a chocolate marshmallow one for Christmas.
Chocolate marshmallow? Wow. Okay.
My daughter's boyfriend.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, I got one for my wife that was like, it was Christmassy. So it was like a snickerdoodle. So when she likes that, it was like, oh, it feels like fresh cookies.
You know, yeah.
It's like, oh, that smells great. But I'm joking with her because last year, we were over at Bath and Body Works, and
love Bath and Body Works.
Oh yeah, and we were there, and you know, every time we go in there, I'm always like sitting there just spending way too much time smelling candles. And she's like, "All right, it's time to go," and I'm like, "No, hold on, this one." and there was this one that was like a coffee scented one. And I so wish that we would have gotten it because it wasn't around this year. And she doesn't want to buy it for me. But I'm like, I'm buying that bad boy. I'm lighting it up. So I'm all for the coffee-themed, you know, smell.
Mm-hmm. Funny, like, I like the smell of coffee, but I don't like the taste of it whatsoever.
Oh. Well, then I'm done talking to you.
Well, it's kind of un-American to dislike coffee. It's true. For so long, I was just like left out of the whole coffee culture. Like, finally, Starbucks started selling chai one year, and it was like a big deal. Now suddenly, I could get tea at a Starbucks.
That's my wife's drink. She's all about the chai.
Yeah, me too. It's good stuff. And once again, it kind of introduced all us tea drinkers. So that we were allowed to be part of this whole American coffee culture. Otherwise, otherwise we're very rudely left out.
Let me see. Is it chai tea, non-fat, no water? That's how she orders it.
Oh.
Do you have a certain way that you order when you're getting your chai?
No, I go buy tea bags and I make it at home.
Oh, well, there you go. A lot cheaper that way.
And I throw in vanilla. And, well, you know, I work from home. I'm not out at Starbucks all the time. And I still don't get it. It's like, what? A venti? What size? I don't know. Just give me – I don't know. Just give me one. you know, I don't get into this hall. And, no, you order it here, and then you have to go stand over there on the other side of the counter before they give it to you. And, like, I don't know. They ask your name, and they get it wrong. It's just like, I don't know. Being left out of the coffee culture for so long, I just feel like I'm behind.
Aw. I actually got suckered because usually around my birthday and Christmas, I get gift cards for it. So I'm usually the guy that I'm okay with the coffee that's in the office that, you know, is being supplied by the company, which isn't the best coffee in the world, but I'm okay with it, you know, because it takes care of my coffee needs. But around my birthday and Christmas, I always get like, you know, usually I'll get like a Starbucks gift card of certain denominations. So then I'll load it up in the app and now they're suckering me, when I'm going into the app and they're like, well, if you do 4 days in a row, then you get, you know, 75 stars and 70-star stars can do this and that and the other. And I'm like, so, yeah, I got suckered in. This last,
it's all a gimmick.
Yeah, it totally is. And this last week, I did 4 consecutive visits just to get 75 stars. And I was like, if that was real money versus what I got for gift cards, you know, how much money would have I wasted to get 75 stars? You know, do the math.
It works. Those yeah. loyalty programs work.
Yeah, they totally do.
All marketing.
Yep. Bastards.
But anyway. okay.
But I'm the sucker, so.
Okay. I guess so. But. Yep. all right. So I'm starting over here.
Yeah. Let me actually just double check, make sure I got the recording going again. And it's going good. All right. And then we'll start timer whenever you're ready.
Okay. Well, let's go. Let's do this thing.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Okay, this is Suzanne with Banzai Retro Club. And what we're doing is we're continuing our series here where we're talking about our favorite TV shows from the eras that we focus on here. And we haven't apprised each other beforehand as to who we're going to pick, so that we kind of surprise each other and get fresh comments here. So it's my turn, and I'm going for a 90s show, as I mentioned, mostly because, like I said, I did not watch enough television in the 80s to really pick something that I loved, unless you were going to talk about MTV. So the show that I'm going to have to go with is The X-Files.
Oh, excellent pick.
Are you a fan?
I am for the Mulder years, not the Doggett years.
Oh, no. Who knows? See, you can't go for the late-reaching years where they change the characters.
Right.
Now, I don't really count that. You know, with any of these shows, you don't really count that.
I'm the same way if you go to MASH. You know, you start talking about MASH, I'm the Henry Blake years, not so much the Potter years. But, yeah.
It just depends, because, like, with Cheers, I always found Diane very annoying, but I did like the Rebecca years, which is the opposite
that's good.
Of how it usually goes.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think, actually, it improved with Kirstie Alley.
Do you? You're one of the people who think that? See?
Yeah.
I wanted to punch Diane Chambers in the head. She was so annoying. And Kirstie Alley was hysterical. So, yeah. And so I guess there are exceptions to that rule, but I would agree. Fox Mulder was the bomb, and I was quite into him. And really, the show like lost all its appeal when he left.
Yeah, I guess I need to find like how long, like how many seasons was he on before we went to Doggett?
You know, I don't know exactly how many. I see how many seasons altogether. They were on from 93 to 2002. And okay. I don't know, did they go?
So Doggett was season 8 through 9. And then Mulder was 1 through 7 and then 10 through 11.
Yeah, see, he's back in the newer seasons, which were kind of cool. I don't know if you watched some of the newer ones.
I did not.
You should, because they really have a lot of the same flavor as the original show. Now it's a little weird to when you're watching the newer shows, because everybody kind of looks different and they're all a little like pulled and tucked and it takes a lot to live up to the standards of Hollywood when it's 20 years later or what have you. But so it, that feels a little bit different, but the sensibility of the show is very much the same and the chemistry is the same. And this was just, it was a wildly creative show as far as them coming up again and again with all these bizarre twists on, an alternate reality, that something that maybe you could really just buy into that it could actually happen in the real world. I bought all this crap, everything they did. For the uninitiated, if you haven't watched The X-Files, it was basically like a kind of a secret division an offshoot of the government, where they are investigating supernatural, extraterrestrial, paranormal things that are outside what would be like a normal crime scene, etc. And Fox Mulder is the investigator who is into this whole thing because his sister was abducted by aliens as a child, or that's what he's convinced anyway. And he's trying, to somehow resolve that in his, in his character over these years, in addition to actually trying to figure this out. That's his subplot. Dana Scully is a coroner for the FBI, and they are partners, or she's a forensics person for the FBI. And they're together investigating these weird, bizarre, like monster-like weird people, psychic. It's just very intense and very intelligent storytelling, where it's where you take something really strange and unbelievable and make you feel like, that just might be something that could be true. That's what I found really cool about The X-Files, in addition to amazing chemistry between these two, between Scully and Mulder the whole time, and in addition to being somewhat in love with David Duchovny.
I can imagine there was a lot of women that were in the same boat. Very good looking guy. And then even his stint of doing there was HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, one of those, he was on the show called Californication. Continuation of just him being the hot guy that he is, and how it seems like that show is centered around the fact that he could, just snap his fingers and get a girl. And they, they weren't shy about showing. Yeah.
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 Let's see. I should have watched them.
That's not Mulder at all. But that.
Mulder is just kind of like this brooding, obsessive type.
Right.
Who would rather sit in his office and do research,
Yeah, I did love their, the way they got along together, and it was your classic TV way that they paired them up. You had her as a natural skeptic and him as the believer. you know, and so, you know, right, he would go into each case with kind of a more of an open thought process and giving things a little bit more towards the mystical kind of thought process as to how things could happen. And she's there trying to find the science behind it.
Yeah, she was always the voice of reality.
Right. And I think it was a great team up of that. And I loved, you know, having, you know, those roles assigned to, the, you know, those people, because it, they really did it well. They really did fantastic. As far as like the show, like, you know, different characters that they had dynamics going forward. I loved when they introduced the Lone Gunman. You know, if you remember those guys.
Yeah, it's kind of the
the computer hackers.
Yeah, they were great. Yeah. They were great.
Yep. So, yeah, it was a really fun show. I totally enjoyed geeking out about it. I remember, you know, I don't know if I'd let this, you know, I told you guys this before, but back when Ghostbusters was a real popular thing, at one time I had entertained the idea of being a teenager. I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to grow up and be a paranormal psychologist. And so when X-Files came out, it really played into that, where it was like, even though I'd already by that time had abandoned that as a career path, that had, you know, seeing that was kind of like, oh, that's what I could have been doing. Not that I wanted to be in the basement of the FBI, but still, you know, it was fun to think of, you know, that there would be these people that was looking at these, you know, these cases that kind of got lumped into that big pile of, you know, this is not standard. This is kind of weird. Let me go hand it off to this guy because he likes that kind of thing. You know, so the romantic side of myself of like, you know, being kind of that geeky, mystical kind of thing going on. Like there's a little bit more in the world too that we don't really understand, you know, and being able to constantly, you know, investigate that and kind of really get to understand that a little bit more. It's like, I've never been afraid of that stuff. You know, if like, if all of a sudden I'm if I'm ever hearing like, you know, that weird wacky noise where your first instinct would be like, I'm getting the hell out of here because, you know, that's scary. I'd be like, what's behind that corner?
So maybe it's funny. This is kind of, the X-Files are kind of like a tradition in my family, even because my mother is this sci-fi nut. And she used to watch like every stupid B movie, you know, going back to the 1950s. You know, she just ate that stuff up. And she definitely, like, if there was an alien invasion, my mother would be the one with the sign saying, welcome, come see me, on the roof of the building. And since then, you know, and I got into the show too, so we would kind of, you know,
share the
fandom, yeah. And then we eventually got my daughter into it. So now the three of us are all X-Files fans. And so, okay, what happened then, like 2 years ago, the Spooky Empire convention, like it's a sci-fi convention, came to Orlando where, you know, my mother lives now. And she went and got tickets and got all excited because there was an X-Files reunion session going on where there was going to be a Q&A with the cast.
Okay.
So me and my daughter got on a plane and we went down and we went Spooky Empire together.
Love it.
So we could go sit and listen to the X-Files session.
So who was there?
Well, actually, it turned out to only be Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny on the panel and a moderator. But they actually took live questions from the audience, and we sent my mother up to go talk to David Duchovny. It was great.
What did she ask him?
You have to understand, my mother is this very, she's like a child. She's like so excitable and fun. She's just, you never know that she wasn't like a 12-year-old. She's so much fun. So what did she ask him? She asked something like, well, are you going to have new plots come because the new season was on? Are you going to have new plots come up where William is involved? And if you watch to the end, William is their child. They eventually got together
right.
and had a psychic child who is featured in some of the new season. So she asked something about that. And then she said something like, and why did it take you so long to notice Scully's haircut? And they all laughed. And she just, you know, and she just giggled. It's just fun.
Oh, that's good.
She made them laugh. She made the whole room laugh. So.
Oh, that's beautiful.
She's just so much fun. She's like a little kid. And my brother was like that, too. So, you know, we've done Comic Cons and things together. They're just so enthusiastic. It's great.
So your mother's still around?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you said she was into sci-fi retro stuff, so...
Oh, my God, yeah.
So then I should have had her on when I was talking about Flash Gordon. Got it.
Yeah, well, yeah, she might be able to tell you a few things about Flash Gordon. At least that I couldn't. But it's more like, forget it, aliens and horror, and it just, she's quite into the whole milieu there. She's a big, like, you would think, we're just geeky. We just come down from geeky stock.
I don't see a problem here.
No, it's not. It's fun, yeah. But like, people don't expect it.
Right.
It's unexpected. So we had a great time. But and this is a great show. You have to love it. You have to love it.
Yeah, it's great to hear that there's like three generations of you, you know, that were into X-Files yeah. and even going to a convention. Did you like pick up anything, like any memorabilia for like the show? Or collect any of that?
Not from the show. I did. They did have a floor, you know, exhibit floor with vendors. And I got, like, Godzilla merchandise from my son. I got, you know, like, Christmas ornaments with the skull. You know, like, I got creepy things.
Okay.
But I did not get X-Files things.
Okay.
But, you know, my mom had the X-Files t-shirt on her, so,
X-Files t-shirt. So is that, like, the title of the show, or... Is it like the flying saucer and say, I want to believe?
No, but I did buy her those for Christmas on pajamas.
Okay.
At her request. This is what she wanted.
I love that poster, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. I want to believe that the... Yeah, no, the t-shirt she had their faces on it, Mulder and Scully. But I should send you a picture.
So, Mitch Pileggi, Walter Skinner, what did you think of him?
Yeah. Yeah, he was an interesting character. He was an interesting character. He was enduring. He's in the new sessions, the new episodes also.
Good to hear.
I don't know. I didn't focus a lot of my energy on him. You know, I was more just looking at the eye candy.
Oh, yeah, David, sure.
Yeah. But... You know, and just that, you know, and I shouldn't say just that because the plot lines were really very engaging. Like I said, some of them were just brilliant. It's some of them just knocked me over. I didn't quite get into, like, things got very, when they got into the whole, like, cigarette smoking guy and who's your father and it got a little soap operatic, I think, at the end. I liked it better when it was just instead of like this plot that went from strung from one episode to the next, when it was they were just individual standalone episodes that were resolved. There was an arc and it was resolved in each episode.
Yeah.
So
you got like one case file and that was kind of they right. worked its way through and you were done.
Right. Those were always very satisfying because everyone was really kind of expertly done.
Right.
I think they maybe didn't really know where to go after a while in some of the later episodes. So, and that I think, like, you know, Skinner got a little bit more involved in that. There was all this conspiracy going on. That's what it was. Was Scully abducted? And, you know, did they give her cancer? And all this kind of stuff happened. I was perfectly happy just to see from week to week what case and what mystery and what, you know, paranormal event they were going to be up against each week. You know, some guy who was actually invisible, or, you know, the guy who could slink through grates. And it was just, it was wild. It was wild stuff. The guy who was like, had a tapeworm, was like a tapeworm. He was like a human. It was disgusting.
Wow. There's so many of these that I had forgotten. And then as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. And wasn't there one that even had like a bunch of circus freaks?
I don't know. I'm kind of vaguely remembering that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember a lot of the details. Like
maybe they might've recurred. They might've been in more than one episode.
Okay.
I think. And then there was one, and I don't even know if this was one of the newer ones or one of the early ones. There was one that was done in black and white, and it was like they kind of redid Frankenstein, where there was a mad scientist, and he actually had a son who was severely deformed and was being hidden from the townspeople in his basement or something. And it was just so brilliantly done the way they modeled it after the original film or the original story. That they were quite clever.
Okay, so I just found it. It's called The Postmodern Prometheus. It is the fifth episode of the fifth season. So it was okay. In 97 when it aired.
Okay, so it's kind of like smack in the middle.
Yeah.
But if you're going to review some of the episodes, review that one. I think that was the most clever one.
The X-Files presents a black and white horror tale.
Up there!
With a monster. A mad scientist and an angry mob. Could it get any scarier than this?
Is it true Jerry Springer's coming to town?
An all-new X-Files, Sunday at 9, 8 Central. So many mysteries, just one box.
Yeah, I was just looking at the image of the... oh, no, that's a mutant sewer worm. Never mind.
That's the tapeworm guy.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's very...
he was gross.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you should, at some point, like, I don't know, it's a little harder to get because I think it's on a streaming service, but you should watch some of the new episodes, and there is one with a lizard man, and it is hysterical. It is the best episode.
So, Lizard Man, X-Files.
Yeah, look it up. X-Files new season.
So, season 10, episode 3.
I think it's something about a jackalope. Is that like the movie back jackalope?
Mulder and Scully meet the Weir Monster.
Yes, that's it. Yep. I'm not going to tell you anymore because it'll ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, witnesses claim a strange creature was responsible for killing a person in the woods. Mulder confronts some of his own demons. And that aired in 2016.
You know what the demon is? You know what the demon is? He can't figure out how to work his cell phone. That's
get the hell out of here.
No, whatever. You know, he's always got shit going on. But but you know, like that becomes a funny, because you know, back in the 90s they maybe had those big clunky cell phones that they talked on now and then. So now they make fun of the fact that now they have smartphones, and like he's like chasing around this mystery person and trying to shoot pictures of him and can't work the freaking phone. So.
Now I don't know if I'll be able to watch the whole thing, but I have a link right here through Daily Motion that looks like it's a whole episode.
You have to watch the whole thing.
Okay.
You can't not watch the end of the X-Files episode.
Well, no, it says it's 37 minutes, so I'm thinking if you had no commercials, then that's about what you'd come in at. So it probably is.
Sounds right.
Okay. So I'll have to. I don't know if I click that link, and I don't want to do it right now because then I mess up my audio.
Okay.
But I'll have to check it out and see. Maybe that'll get me into the newer seasons.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that was, I heard the alarm bell go off, so.
The 20-minute countdown.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so in that case, we can give you all our info here for Banzai Retro Club. We're online at BonsaiRetroClub.com, and you can give a listen on Podbean in addition to iTunes and Spotify. Let's see. I'm at Suze Mattaboni on Twitter, and my blog, where I've got some accompanying things to the series on new wave music that Scott and I did, is suzanne@mattaboni.com. I'm not going to spell it this time.
By now, hopefully they've gotten it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you memorized it by now. All the, you know, the rest of the team has. okay. And so you can also find us at Banzai Retro Club. Scott is at 80s Auto Reverse.
Yep.
Yeah. Rose is at 80s Music Girl.
Correct.
Okay. So I think that takes care of us. And in any case, yeah, we appreciate everybody listening in, and please keep doing so. And everyone, be excellent to each other. I love that saying.
That, it doesn't get old. And it's so fun that something that I thought was just going to be kind of I don't want to say a throwaway phrase, but just something that we started when we started Banzai Retro Club, because we just needed some sort of like closing phrase. And it stuck. And it's just because the message of it is just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We need a lot more people being excellent to each other.
Yes, let's do it. Let's all be excellent to each other. Okay. Well, thanks, everybody. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 'Cause I can't leave. Well, you can say I'm not.